This leader is provided to permit the projectionist to complete adjustment of focus and sound level before the film begins.
On today's show, we talk about bitter rivalries. The good ones, the bad ones, the ones you love, and the NFL draft is just a day away. Who are the biggest busts in history, and what should these teams be looking for? That and so much more, 424-24.
Initiate explosion in 3, 2, 1.
That's right, it's the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion, here on April 24th, 2024. Thanks for joining, thanks for sharing, thanks for doing all that you do. We're so happy to have you along for the ride. Please give us a rating. Give us a 5 as opposed to 1, but if you give us a 1, give us a reason why. Share your thoughts. Hey, take action in the polls. Join along. Do all that stuff. April Radness Tournament continues on today as it's going forward and forward. Instead of March Madness, it's April Radness. We'll talk about that here in just a sec. Our big topic today, as many of you know, let me address this. This is the show where we answer the question.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
There's a lot of going on here. One thing you may know, I am a big baseball fan, and we are 2 weeks into the sport. And that's fine, and that's great. And that four-letter network that carries baseball on Sunday nights has done their best, I guess, to diversify their matchups and so on and so forth. But let's just cut the shit. That network is all about the Yankees and Red Sox, and everyone else can pound sand, and it gets a little tiring sometimes. I would like to watch other matchups. I'm not a Yankees fan or a Red Sox fan. I get it. You built the thing. But it's kind of not a rivalry when the last out is dished and then a bunch of millionaires hug each other and swap jerseys. I want to see these guys spit in each other's face and kind of punch each other in the teeth. But that's me, not you, and not the young guy consumer. But it brings us to this question. Sports rivalries, and to help me answer this, I've got my guest today, Frank Rapier, Dennis Brown. What's up, guys?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we talked about this a week or two ago. You guys, Frank, you're a Texas fan. And Dennis, you're an Oklahoma fan, and that's a pretty good rivalry, most generally football. But I'm sure throughout all the sports through the two universities, it's a good rivalry, so on and so forth. Ohio State, Michigan, that's a football thing, but I'm willing to bet if they both have a chess club, they probably, you know, it's a bitter rivalry when Michigan goes to Columbus to play chess, if that's such a thing, so on and so forth. Frank, I'm going to start with you. And you don't have to mention any teams that you particularly root for, but what are some good rivalries in sports throughout the years?
So, basketball in the NBA, Lakers-Celtics.
That's top college. Notch. Yep.
Yeah, Duke, North Carolina in college. Then you go football in the NFL. You could say Steelers-Raiders. That's a pretty big rivalry. Packers-Bears. Packers, Vikings, college football, of course, Texas, Oklahoma, Army, Navy, Ohio State, Michigan, even going back a little ways, Florida State, Miami, hockey, who really cares, to be honest with you?
I'm sure there's some folks up there to be like, hey man, Toronto, Buffalo, you son of a bitch, eh? That's a barn burner, eh? Maybe Boston, maybe. And when it comes to hockey, I would like to tend to think that the rivalry is because of the cities, not so much the teams. Like if Boston and New York hate each other, it's because Boston and New York hate each other. Like they could have any fucking sport and they would just hate each other because of who they are. You know what I mean? Dennis.
Yeah, and also one more just for you, Josh. Cowboys, Redskins.
Thank you. Although I think what makes a rivalry good is when both teams are competitive, and that excludes the fucking Redskins for the past 30 years, so whatever. Dennis, you and I being big Lakers fans for all this time, that Lakers-Celtics rivalry, that's got to be top-notch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's the biggest one, or it's up there with the Yankees and the Red Sox. In the NFL, there's too many to name because, I mean, there's so many rivals within divisions, and the old ones are like the Packers, Bears, like Frank said, the Niners and Dallas go back a long ways. But, yeah, Lakers, Celtics, to me, that's the biggest just because I'm a really big NBA fan.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers and the Giants are a big one for me because I'm a Giants fan. And I hate the Dodgers a lot like I do the Celtics. And I do the Dallas Cowboys.
So the anatomy of a rivalry, as many would say, is, well, one, geographically it helps. I get that. Iowa, Iowa State, Kansas State, so on and so forth. And then also the stakes mean a lot too. So if it's like Oklahoma, Nebraska back in the Big Eight days, because whoever wins that game is going to win the Big Eight and go to the Orange Bowl, so on and so forth. I like these rivalries that come down to, like, the Lakers-Celtics, they're not in the same conference. They really don't have to play each other. But somehow they meet at the championship. 17 titles for each team. That's great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's amazing. And the 2008, when the Celtics beat the Lakers, and then for them to 2 years to get that matchup again and then have it go seven games and then the Lakers end up winning it. I mean, that was huge. That's probably my favorite finals ever. Was that
the 2010?
Was that one in 2010? The one in 2010, by far.
I do, yeah. Too, because it was like a Kobe redemption type of thing, because they said he can't win without Shaq. And then when he lost in 08 to the Celtics, it's like, well, there you go. He can't win without Shaq. When he won in 09 against the Magic, he won. But it's like, well, you didn't have to take on the Celtics. And then he got it done.
No.
It was so good.
And it was LeBron that was supposed to be there. They ran those puppet commercials, you know, all year long.
Yeah.
And then LeBron couldn't get past Dwight Howard. So Kobe gets that ring. But when they went and played the Celtics, losing that game seven was not a fucking option.
No.
You know, when Kobe walked out, it's like, there's absolutely no way we can lose this game. And Ron Artest fucking hit a big one to put that thing away.
Yeah. And if I remember right,
thing of beauty,
D Fish coming back from Utah, had a big game seven there as well. If I do recall.
Absolutely.
Frank, as a Texas fan,
no, wait, my favorite thing, though, the only redeeming thing that happened in 2008, though, is the fact that Paul Pierce shit himself. That's why he got carted off in that fucking wheelchair.
And now he Willis Reed himself back to the game.
Yeah. Now we know the fucking truth about that because he told that story.
Paul poop stain.
Right. Frank, as a Texas fan, do you feel what maybe Yankees or Cowboys or Lakers fans feel, where it's kind of your team versus the world type of feeling, where, you know, the last time Texas played Oregon State might have been 1932, but if Oregon State beats them this year, they will thump their fucking chest because it was Texas. Like, is that feeling with that school?
Yes, because other than Texas fans, everybody hates Texas. They
okay.
do.
Yeah.
Not saying it's not warranted, because a lot of Texas fans are assholes. Okay, I'm not saying it's not warranted, but I mean, throughout the Big 12, anytime I go into a sports bar or anything, no matter who they're playing, if they're playing Kansas, they're playing Kansas State, they're playing Iowa State, fuck, even if they're playing Cincinnati, I walk in with a Texas shirt on and I get so much shit about it. And a lot of it is from old Nebraska fans. And I just kind of grin at them and go, Mac Brown was 4-0 in Lincoln. 2010, we finished 5-7, but we came into Lincoln and beat your ass, didn't we?
Right.
So, but yeah, no, I feel it. It's like, and there's a lot of SEC fans that are just licking their chops. And, I'm not saying that Texas is going to go in there and do anything other than compete. But with the way this team is built, I feel better now than I did 4 years ago. If I'd have found out 4 years ago they were going to the SEC, I might have been like, well, this might not be a good thing. But now I feel pretty confident. I do. I think both Texas and Oklahoma will be able to compete in that league.
Yeah, compete. I'm worried about Oklahoma.
Yeah, your spring game yesterday, your defense gave up 58 or 65 points.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, well, but I mean, it's a fucking scrimmage, so.
It is what it is. And I think we're headed into we obviously are headed into a point here where to get a national championship in football, you don't have to be undefeated, where that was the end-all be-all. You can suffer a loss, maybe even two, now at this point with a 12-team playoff and then eventually the 14-team playoff and then eventually the 16-team playoff and then eventually the 48-team playoff, and then I can keep going, but it's all coming. So you can suffer a loss or two and still be there and be relevant. So,
hell, maybe even three.
You could. I mean,
maybe even three losses.
Yeah. It would just depend on who the loss and how those losses occurred and so on and so forth. Yeah, we all know it. But rivalries being one of the categories here in the April Radness tournament that is continuing right now. Tomorrow night is the NFL draft, and boy, has that thing really evolved. If you look back and look at the footage from the draft, so the most famous would be the 83 draft, obviously, with the seven quarterbacks taken, Marino being the last and all that stuff. But if you look at that, that's in like a fucking dipshit hotel room, little small ballroom. No one cares. The cleaning lady's walking through. Mel Kiper has yet to buy his first BMW. I mean, Chris, I'm trying to think of his name, but for ESPN. So either way, it's really evolved. Now, boy, this thing is awesome. Like, it's a show. It's a production. And it just goes to show that the NFL has taken over the sports world entertainment-wise, because there's going to be baseball games. There's going to be playoff NBA and playoff hockey. But the whole fucking world won't care, generally, because they're going to be watching a bunch of names being listed off. That's all it is, really, if you think about it. It's a bunch of people reading names. That's all it really is. But it's going to be in Detroit, and they got fireworks. I'm sure Kid Rock's going to show up. It's going to be fucking awesome. Who knows? It'll be a thing. Do you guys like the way the NFL draft is now, as opposed to just a two-day little simple something like that? Do you watch it? Do you make a whole night of it? How do you celebrate the NFL draft, Dennis?
Normally just go to a bar and watch the first day with a bunch of my friends.
There you go.
Pretty much. The first round and the second round. And then, you watch the third and fourth laying around on a Saturday or Sunday, whatever. But I don't mind the way it is. I like that they put a lot behind it, make it kind of a big deal. We all like NFL football. We always miss it once it's over. And the NFL's kind of figured out a way to keep it real interesting and make everything in the off season kind of a big deal. That's why it's unique to the other sports.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, it's like the NBA draft, let's be honest, after pick 6 or 7, you're not getting difference makers, really. Like, no, like Tom Brady was pick, 199? Okay, you're not really going to find a pick 57 or 8 in a draft be the MVP of the NBA. Okay, I think the only example I could think of was Derek Fisher. Maybe was like a late second day pick. But even he, what do you got?
There's some guys like that that get drafted in the NBA. But like you said, you can get difference makers later in them rounds, but you have no fucking idea that you're getting them. They're just guys that come to the next level and are just surprisingly really good at it.
Yeah. Frank?
Yeah, but one thing the NBA has that the NFL doesn't is they have a pipeline to France for fucking draft picks. but as far as the NFL draft, I've got plans with some friends of mine. We're going to go to a sports bar and watch it. Even before it became the spectacle it was, I would watch it just because I'm very interested to see where players are going to go.
Yeah.
To see how it's going to shake out. But like Dennis, after the first round, I'll pull up on my phone to see, okay, here's how my team picked, or I'll start like Googling players that I'm interested in. Oh, they went to, oh shit, poor bastard. He went to Carolina. Oh, good for him. He went to the Rams. Good for him. He went to Seattle. Poor bastard went to Denver, but yeah, I do like the way that they've done it, that they've created a spectacle out of it, because you're right. The NFL figured out that we love football so much that we would get behind and sit down and have an event eating wings and pizza and whatever.
There you go, man.
To watch Roger Goodell say, we have a trade to announce, and then announce the trade and then say, Baltimore is on the clock. And we're all like, So yeah, and as any other draft, I don't give a fuck about.
I love it when that son of a bitch gets booed, and like Vince McMahon, I think he likes getting booed too, because he's like, as they call it in the wrestling world, he's getting heat, So he's
also getting paid $450 million a year, right. So he doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. You can hate me.
Yeah, no, I like.
I'm gonna get on my private jet and fly home.
He absolutely does not give a fuck. That guy has so much money. He gets a lot of satisfaction out of that.
Yeah. I also like on day four of the draft, when you're in like rounds 5, 6, and 7, when you've got the experts talking about a certain player, and then underneath them is a ding, ding, like Chargers current pick, defensive, and there's picks going on, and it's like, yeah, fuck these guys. Like, we don't need to stop our programming to announce this guy. Fuck him. you're not a first rounder. So, we're going to keep talking what we're talking and all that stuff and blah, 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 so on and so forth. It is a good time, but the NFL draft.
For ESPN, it is important to give me an alert that a Miami of Ohio kicker transferred to Alabama. That's important.
Breaking news coming from Frank Rapier. What do you got?
The Sherm Scrotum Newsroom is reporting that former Miami of Ohio kicker, I don't even know his fucking name, but apparently he transferred to Alabama, and that was enough to alert me on my phone saying, Alabama collects major player from transfer portal. And I'm like, oh shit, maybe Caden Proctor actually officially signed. I click on it. It's a goddamn kicker. Right. I don't want to sound like Peyton Manning, but he's a fucking kicker. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. ESPN. They like to make out with certain teams, the Yankees, Red Sox, Alabama, the Lakers, they like to make out with them. This would not be news if he was transferring to Stanford or Wyoming,
No. And they do that. Like the way they hype LeBron James just drive. I can't even watch the fucking dumb network. All they talk about is the Lakers and LeBron James. And I'm tired of them trying to make it seem like he's better than Michael Jordan. It's fucking absurd. They need to stop it. Just stop it.
I'm with you. And we'll do an entire episode on that here soon. Real quick, before going back, talking about rivalries, just real quick. Dennis, have you been both to a Oklahoma wise, you've been both to a Texas game and an Oklahoma State game, correct?
Yes.
What was more heated?
Well, the Texas game was different because it was in the Cotton Bowl. Okay. So I don't want to say it really got heated, but like we said last time, it's 50-50, 50-yard line to 50-yard line. The Sooners on one side, crimson and cream, orange and white on the other. It looks cool as fuck, and there's a lot of security there. But it wasn't, like, super heated. Now, when Oklahoma State came to Norman, and you're walking up the street to the stadium full of Sooner fans, and you're just about ready to pour into the stadium, the hatred for Oklahoma State runs deep. And, I mean, make no mistakes. Every car in that fucking town when I lived in Norman, on the back of their windshield, it's not an OU sticker. You saw a smattering of those. What it was either an upside down orange Longhorn symbol or a crimson and cream one of the Longhorn symbol upside down. That's what's on everybody's car. So they hate Texas more. But when Oklahoma State comes to Norman, the hatred runs deep, bro. When I was there, my first year that I watched my first game there, they beat us. And then they carried their fucking quarterback around on their shoulders on our field. I turned around as I was about ready to exit the stadium, and I looked down there, and I was just like, fuck. And they're down there celebrating, having a good old time on our logo. It was quite maddening.
That was a great way that you explained it, and I kind of anticipated that. I was thinking, you know, in-state rivalries, because the close geographic location, Stillwater, Norman, it's people that know each other or something like that, you know.
When I would go to the basketball games in Lloyd Noble, they would just relentlessly play that song, Mama, don't let your babies, you know, grow up to be cowboys. That would just play at every fucking timeout. And the place would erupt every time they would play it. They hate, make no mistakes, they hate Texas more, but they really, really fucking hate Oklahoma State. They really hate them.
Okay, very well. Continue on with the NFL draft. Before I get you guys out of here, little bit of a countdown list. Biggest draft bust of all time, and there's many lists that can be referenced to this. There's shows that do all this. By no coincidence whatsoever, I want to start with Frank Rapier.
Well, I mean, there's Ryan Painkiller Leaf. There's also Jamarcus, I'll eat myself out of the league, Russell. And then there's, you know, Tony, I'm not going to play my senior year of college, but I'm going to go out to Venice Beach and do as many steroids as I can, Mandarich. You know, the guy that was drafted ahead of Barry Sanders. I'm trying to think of some other really, really, really bad. Those are the top three that pop into my mind. I'm sure I'm missing a few, but.
Well, to help you out, there was.
Akili Smith.
Okay, yeah.
Lawrence Phillips was the long shot.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Phillips had all of the goods. I mean, he really did. He just upstairs, he was damaged. You know, yeah. I mean, and he couldn't get it done.
And that's how talented he was, because make no mistakes, they all fucking knew that dude's brain was broke. They knew that all his dogs weren't barking, and they still drafted him. Johnny Manziel's another one. He was pretty big bust.
Brian Bosworth, I hate to say it.
Yeah, Charles Rogers, that wide receiver from Michigan State.
Would you consider RG3 a bust, even though he won Rookie of the Year?
No, I wouldn't. Injuries and his pride is what fucked him up. When he hurt his knee, he should have never came back and played. He should have rehabbed that fucker. But he wanted to play in that playoff game, and he wrecked him. So kind of like Akili Smith gets kind of a bad rap. He was an, you know, Kajana Carter was an injury.
Yeah.
You know, he blew his fucking knee out. He was never the same. But I think I think if you got to pick out of all of them, it's Jamarcus Russell. Didn't they have that story where they put a $100 bill at the back of a fucking playbook they told him to read? And when he gave it back to him, he's like, nah, yeah, I read all of it. And they opened, went to the back page, and the $100 bill was still there, taped to the back page.
So I've never heard that, but I've seen the movie Draft Day. Did they use that story for Draft Day?
I think they did, because I heard that about Jamarcus Russell. I heard that on, like one of those debate shows. I think Skip Bayless or somebody's talking about it years and years ago.
One I'll throw out there,
Yeah, the
and he's never considered a bust because he wasn't picked so high. Because in order to be a bust, a team's gotta like put a lot of into it. Like, if you're drafted in the third round, knowing who fucking cares. But if you're top five, you're supposed to. But one I'd throw out there would be Vince Young, and I don't think I'd consider him a bust because I think he was picked in the teens, maybe the 20s.
No, he was picked third.
Yeah, he was like the
Okay, well
third
then fuck
pick.
me. Then he's a bust.
And
Well,
honestly, I don't think it's Vince's fault. I think you're probably about to go there, right, Frank?
yeah, I'll
Yeah,
let
go.
you go.
Well,
Oh.
I don't really think it's his fault. I think he was kind of ruined by the team. Plus, he was fucking drafted to play for old 8-8.
Yeah.
I don't think
He got
they.
Jeff Fisher'd out of the league.
Yeah, and I don't think they used him. I don't think they used him right, because I thought he was immensely talented. Watching him in his rookie year, I thought he was amazing.
Offensive rookie of the year. He still has a winning record as a starting quarterback in the league. He had that one where he had a meltdown, and it was all because of Jeff Fisher. And then Fisher used that because Fisher didn't want to draft him, so he used that as an example as to why they should cut him. And then he was just never the same. But I don't think he was a bust. I just think, it was a bad situation he was put into.
And if you compare him to like Aaron Rodgers, when he came into the league, he just had really bad mechanics. The difference is he was the fucking savior. Aaron Rodgers, like I say about Alex Smith, how about Aaron Rodgers goes number one and Alex Smith gets to go sit behind Brett Favre for 3 years and learn and learn and learn and learn and ha and not have any stress of having to worry about being the starter. Now, imagine had the Packers, instead of Aaron Rodgers, they draft Vince Young and he sits behind Brett Favre for 3 years. How fuck? And I'm not going to blame it all on the team. I mean, it had a lot to do with Vince too. He was a fucking head case,
Yeah.
and he couldn't get that under control either. So I mean, they're both to blame for him wasting his lack of ability, but I don't think he was a bust.
Okay,
No, and
fair
then
enough.
in a year or two, you can also add in old Carolina giving up the farm for Alabama boy.
Oh,
He's
absolutely.
a fucking bust. And I said it before the draft last year that there was not one quarterback that in that draft that I would have taken in the first round, and I would have been wrong about CJ Stroud. But there wasn't another one of those quarterbacks that went in the first round last year that I would have even fucking
He
touched.
fuck, he was an Ohio State quarterback, man. You and everybody else was wrong about him. Everybody thought
Yeah.
he
Well,
was
because Ohio
garbage.
State, in the past 10 years has been churning out these quarterbacks that fail horribly in the NFL, and it's like, well, hey guys, that like he's coming from an offense of all five stars, playing against fucking Purdue, Northwestern, and Iowa. He's going to look good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
And
it's like you. It's
I'll
not
be
fair.
excited to
I mean,
see
yeah.
him. I'll be excited to see him in his second year, because now they'll prepare differently for him, and they got a lot of film on him. And I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be a great quarterback for years to come. You can already tell he's really smart. So, kind of like Jordan Love. I said Jordan Love would be really good. I had a couple of my friends laughing at me because at the beginning of the season last year, I was comparing him the way his arm angles are to Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. And my buddy's like, "Did you just compare him to Patrick Mahomes?" I'm like, "Yeah, I did, dude. He can do those arm angles like that. I've seen all that tape on him. You can watch that shit on YouTube. He's gonna be really good, and when he figures it out, it's gonna be people that are fans of teams in the NFC should be nervous.
This is way too early to say, but I'll ask you, Dennis, is Trey Lance a bust?
I'm 50-50 on that.
Too early
I
to
hear
say,
you
then.
hear you hear different things. I mean, when he was in San Francisco, the fact that he's named the starter when he breaks his ankle and then he comes back the next year, he's the third stringer and they're trading him off. Kyle Shanahan's not an idiot. He knew he fucked up. So I would probably say, yeah, he's not going to get a chance. He's going to be stuck behind Dak anyway. He'll be traded off somewhere else. He's probably going to end up being a bust. If I had to, gun to my head, make a choice, and we're coming for
Yeah.
you that day that we decide. Yeah, I'm going to go with probably bust.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, I wanted them to draft him. I was all in on him. I thought he would be great. And I, like Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, fucked up.
Well, the other bad thing for Lance is, I was skeptical of him, simply because, he went to a smaller school, not that that matters, but then he had an entire season where he didn't play,
Yeah, he only
or
played
they
19 games.
yeah. And then now he was in San Fran, so he was playing under one offensive coordinator. Now he's in Dallas playing under another offensive coordinator. If they trade him, he's going to end up being a clipboard guy for the rest of his career, or they're going to throw him into action. And he's not really had any opportunity to learn the game,
That's,
because
yeah.
he's had to learn it from what will be three coaches at that point in time. So he may end up being a Randall Cunningham story. And Randall was good, but he may end up being somebody that, 6 years from now, he ends up coming in a game when Joe Burrow gets hurt, and all of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, this guy, lights it up and has a great season.
Maybe. I doubt it.
But yeah, I'm with you. That's probably a pipe dream.
We've seen him play. He's okay. He's not very efficient. I've heard rumors that he's not very smart. Brock Purdy, I mean, that offense in San Francisco under Kyle is incredibly complex. And Brock Purdy picked it up pretty quick. Now, he was a 4-year starter in college, but he picked it up pretty quick and he runs that thing like a fucking well-oiled machine. Not so much for Trey. And I think Kyle caught on to that pretty quick, pretty early, and did what he had to do to rectify that mistake. We gave up a lot for that kid.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talking rivalries, talking about the draft. Gonna get you guys out of here. Any final words? Heading into the NFL draft tomorrow night, Frank?
With the 59th pick in the draft, some team is going to take some guy you've never heard of, and you're going to get a 17-minute video bio of the guy, and you're going to be convinced this motherfucker is going to be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah. And his
And it
second.
possibly could be a it could possibly be a kicker that transferred from Miami of Ohio to Alabama,
Sure
is all
could
I'm
have,
saying.
yeah. And he'll never forget what his second favorite aunt, who died of breast cancer when he was 8, told him, and she said, "Do good." And he never forgot that. And he got it tattooed in Chinese on his bicep, and here we are. So, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Yeah, I look forward to them stories, Josh.
Okay,
They're
well,
heartwarming.
DVR
Why
that
I
shit, and you can
watch.
keep watching over and over again. So there you are. By the
Well,
way,
unless it's Tom Rinaldi reporting it, I don't care.
the other thing is too is a buddy of mine back in the day used to joke that if Todd McShay ever goes missing or is found dead in a trunk of a car, your first suspect is Mel Kiper Jr. because that son
100%.
because that son of a bitch had a good living back in the day, where he only had to show up and work for 2 weeks, at ESPN, and then go golfing the rest of the fucking year. And then la-di-da Todd McShay comes along as the second analyst who actually puts time into this. And it's like, Mel's like, fuck, goddamn it. Like, no, no, I was the expert singular, you fucking prick. And it's like, and now.
Didn't they fire Todd McShay?
I don't know. I don't watch that fucking shit. But okay. but I'm saying, well, if he ends up dead, go look for Mel. I mean, you know, because he look at that hairdo. He was on the golf course most of the year until like April, and then he could work, and then he'd be called good.
I remember when McShay first showed up, he was fucking him up too. He was making him look like an idiot a little bit. And it was pretty funny.
It was, because it's like Mel's mock draft would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and McShay would be like, yeah, I got a completely different mock draft because I've actually read into this shit, Mel. And
yeah, he used to trigger Mel. When they'd be on a show together, Mel'd start fucking getting all loud with him and shit.
That was must-see TV. Also, quick side note, John Clayton and Sean Salisbury. Like, Clayton used to fucking fuck with him. And that was good. Yeah. To, you know,
fucking Salisbury was a fucking race car engine in the red, bro.
All the time. Yeah. I do remember one time they were going at it, and Salisbury, you know, said something to the effect of like, you see, that's why you've never thrown on the pads. You don't even know what it's all about, Clayton. And I think Clayton fired back with like, yeah, I don't know what it's like to have 15 touchdowns compared to 36 interceptions for a career. And it's like, fucking A, man, this is awesome. Don't go to commercial. Let's keep going, you know?
Yeah, it's like when Jalen Rose called out Skip Bayless on first take and said, didn't you average like 1 point a game your senior year? Yeah, I did.
Right. Yeah, and then they had to fucking, like, because of that, because that little fucking weasel dick fucking boot-licking fucking cowboy fan got butt hurt, they wouldn't let Jalen Rose back on there on first take. Yeah. I'll tell you what, a hammer to the head of Skip Bayless would not be a bad thing.
Allegedly.
You're in the Charles Barkley bucket. He's always talking about fucking killing Skip Bayless.
Well, the guy's a fucking annoying prick. Like, seriously, his takes. You know who I hate almost more than Skip Bayless is fucking Colin Coward.
I don't mind.
I used to be a Colin Coward fan. Oh, I don't listen to him anymore. But
just a pompous douchebag.
He is. I agree with you. And he's a fucking liberal idiot. I agree with all that. But he's not as bad as Skip.
Last year, every fucking week after fucking USC lost their third game, I still think they're one of the best teams in college football. Yeah, because you lick fucking USC's ball sack. Did you go to school there? Like, dude, come on.
Yeah, he has his allegiances. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Well, this has just been Dynamite Pod talking with you guys. I can't wait till the next time. I'll think of 5 more ESPN personalities we can shit on. It'll be great.
Oh, that's always a good time to shit on liberals.
God damn it. Frank Rapier, Dennis Brown, thanks for coming on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Unless fucking ESPN cancels me.
Don't go anywhere at all. We'll be right back after this very important thing, or whatever.
Thanks to my new coaches, my new owners and everything. It's a privilege for me to be up here with them. I feel like I need to reward them in some way. So hopefully a Super Bowl ring or two can do that in the next few years.
Later that day, after he yelled at me, he read an apology on camera.
I misdirected my anger after the Kansas City game. I was extremely disappointed in my performance, and I let it show.
He read the piece of paper, and then he crumpled it up and threw it back into his locker.
sorry if that sounded kind of rehearsed.
We now return back to the show.
We're back to JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Thank you for listening. Please share, rate, do all that fun stuff. We're going to do a little round of Marvin Steve with TJ Foley here today. Of course, Marv being a yes.
Yes.
And Steve being a no.
Oh, hell no.
So here we go. You ready, Tej?
I'm ready.
So apparently Tej has been up for 3 nights without sleep getting ready for this exam. And this only exam. So
I'm committed. You
yeah,
know
yeah,
I'm
you
committed.
Know I know you are. Okay, Marv or Steve. Question one. Is MJ the GOAT?
That's a Steve. It's
oh,
LeBron's
hell no.
ring now.
Well then who's the GOAT?
LeBron. He has the better career.
Son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. Why? So I have this argument with my sons. Just give me another 10 seconds. Why would you say LeBron?
I think a more versatile player, played in a tougher era against tougher opponents, could survive in Jordan's era in a way in which Jordan could not. Jordan would be great in this era. He would be a more limited skill set.
I will say this. LeBron is the most talented basketball player I've ever seen, ever. He can do everything. But he doesn't have it upstairs, in my opinion. And the way teams used to beat the living shit out of Michael Jordan, LeBron couldn't handle. That's my opinion. So, but you say MJ's not the GOAT.
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
I'm Steving it.
Yeah, you're Steving it. You sure are, you son of a bitch. Question number two. And now, this could make or break you on the show here. Is Susanna Hoffs, the lead singer of the Bengals, the prettiest woman ever?
That's a hard Marv.
Yes!
Thank you. Okay, moving on. Question number three. Now, the NBA will never do this, so this is just a hypothetical and just your opinion. Should the NBA reduce its playoff teams?
Steve on it.
Oh, hell no.
You think 10 is the right number?
We love this parity, don't we? We just said it. We love this competition. The more people in there, the more chance of upsets, the more games I get to watch.
I know, but generally speaking, the NBA, especially the Eastern Conference over the past 20-some years, that 8 seed is under 500. You know, why do they need to be there?
Look at the Heat last year. They almost didn't make it through the play-in, and then they got to the finals.
Yeah. So you think eight is the right
Eight's
the right number.
Eight's the right number, and chaos is the goal, man. And so I think the more teams, the more chaos you get.
Okay. All right. Can you meet me in the middle on this thought, though? And again, the NBA will not do this. Should the NBA go back to the 5-game series in that first round?
I would love it. Now we're talking chaos, right? Because now yes. You're talking upsets. Yeah.
Correct. Because
that would be pretty fun.
Because a 1 seed beating the living shit out of an 8 seed, we don't need an extra a 4th game if it's going to be a sweep. However, it's probably more probable if an 8 seed can upset a 1 seed if they're only given 5 games. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's easier to get that 3 than it is to get the all 4.
Right.
Yeah, and that's makes it much more exciting.
Because if you're
What did old man Josh think of the IST?
Oh, the in-season tournament?
Yeah. The IST.
Well, lame. Frickin' lame. I didn't understand.
You're
I mean,
Steving it? You're Steving
I'm
the
totally
IST?
Steving.
Oh, hell no.
To the IST. And the fact that, like, LeBron and the Lakers hung that, I'm like, get that away from the other banners. Okay? You're trying to tell me that the 87 championship over the Celtics, where they had to battle their asses off, that's as good as hanging it next to the IS. Get out of here.
It was like a mini banner. It's not, the 87 is not insulted by a little scrap of mini banner.
Just put it on the other side of the tapes. It doesn't need
next to the Taylor Swift banner.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yes. Put it over there. Put it with the, you know, no offense to Chick Hearn and his family, but he didn't win any of those titles. So when he has his jersey hung up in the rafters, put that over there with Chick Hearn's, because he didn't, you know. Not
all right. That's fine. I would marv the IST, and I would say that anytime you just make a game a big deal, it makes it more fun.
It is kind of a cool, like, little idea. I just thought it went a little long, though. Like, I, you know, like, I think it'd be cool if they did it over, like, Christmas break or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just make it 8 days. It didn't have to be, because there were some games where I'm like, is this regular season or tournament? Like, we didn't know. You know what I mean?
You couldn't tell by the eyesore of a court?
Well, that
the bright red courts and the bright purple courts.
Well, it took me a while to pick up on that, because here's the thing. As the NBA is shifting towards being more entertainment and not so much a sport. Yeah, I said it. I think you're going to see that more often, because like we saw at the All-Star game, the court with the changing graphics and all, and the lighting and all that stuff. I think that's going to become a thing.
Yeah, for sure. And then they're going to try and add, like, hologram additions. But, you know, the IST reminds me of those, like, college rivalries where they play for, like, a bowl of apples. You know, it's like, who cares about the bowl of apples? It's like, it's just bragging.
We got our name on those bowl of apples, you sons of
bitches. Exactly.
Yeah. And then LeBron comes out with a folding chair.
Yeah.
Question number four. Will the Bears win a Super Bowl before we die?
Steve.
Oh, hell no.
They don't have it. The quarterback position is cursed. You know, I don't know if what they did to Jim McMahon, but ever since then, they've never been able to put the right person will.
I'll tell you what they did to Jim McMahon. They replaced him with Mike Tomczak. And then Doug Flutie. Yeah, I just. Then this is why
I don't see it. I don't see it.
This is why we love the NFL, is because everyone's built to be 500, or with 17 games, 8-8-1, and it's up to you, the organization, if you're stupid as shit or if you're smart. And the Bears, like my beloved Redskins, are in the dumb as shit category, where they just cannot get it right. And yeah, so you may be right. We may not see a Bears Super Bowl before we die. But it was nice while we had it, right? That 85 teams, I'll tell you.
It was super fun. And Bulls too. But, you know, both those teams are selling out whether or not they win or not. And that's part of the problem.
You nailed it right there. That was always the problem with the Cubs.
Exactly.
The fans would say, well, it's a curse. It's a curse. No, it's not a curse. It's Chicago's most popular bar in the middle of town. And like, you want to go get some beers at 1:20 on a Tuesday, go to Wrigley Field, and no one gives a shit, you know, so, and then, but they eventually get figured out and so on and so forth. But yeah, I agree. I don't think the Bears will be hoisting the Lombardi before we're dead. I got two more questions for you. I know I said I had five, but I have six.
Liar.
Yeah, I'm a piece of shit. I suck. I'm sorry. Question number five. Should Mountain Dew and other type products just be Mountain Dew, or do they need to have the 29 conglomerate fucking hypo red blah blah blah, blah. Should it just be Mountain Dew?
That's a Steve. Because so let me tell you.
So you said, oh, hell no.
Okay, no, convince me. Convince me we need all this shit.
It's 1 a.m. You know, you're good to drive, but you're still warm in the face. You start tasting that bean burrito. Nothing cuts the bean burrito like the Baja Blast. I cannot lose the Baja Blast. You need both Mountain Dew and Baja Blast. If you want to get rid of Code Red, I respect you. I'll stop staining my clothes. But don't you take my Baja Blast.
I've never been convinced of something more in my life than that argument you just gave me right now. And that was, you know, listening to One Headlight by the Wallflowers while eating a bean burrito on a dark highway. And I was like, you know what? No, regular Mountain Dew is for amateurs. Get the fuck out of here. I need something.
That's exactly right.
I need something purple. All right. Let me get you out of here. One final question. If we were to make a Mount Rushmore of tag teams, would the Hart Foundation be on it?
Got to go out on a Marv.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm glad that you see things the right way. It's fine, whatever you want. What would the other three be if you just were to put and it doesn't matter, but as long as the Hart Foundation, because this is an argument I have. As you get older, these are the arguments you have. Like, you know, some people are like, well, that climate change and, oh, that goddamn Donald Trump. And I'm like, well, let's talk about tag teams of the 1980s. Like, you know, so if the Hart Foundation.
I mean, was there anything cooler than those glasses? Hart Foundation sunglasses were the coolest glasses of the 1990s.
And they were quite possibly the perfect tag team. You had muscle and style and Jimmy Hart.
Speed and technique, right? You need both of those things. I don't need two Hardy Boys. They do the same thing. I need both members of the Hart Foundation.
I'm so glad that we ended on that note because that was important. That was goddamn important. Thank you for joining the show, Mr. TJ Fuller. It's always an honor. We'll talk. Maybe you'll check back here in like a month or two.
That sounds great.
Mr. TJ Fuller checking in from the Pacific Northwest. We'll be back in just a minute.
Well, speaking of your opponents, I would imagine foremost on your mind, Anvil, and of course, Brett the Hitman's would be the tag team champions of British Bulldogs.
You're always asking us questions. Right. Well, let me ask you a question, all right?
Be my guest.
What exactly is a female dog?
That's not what Brett wanted. It's called a bitch, is the term.
A what?
Call the terminology is a bitch. We're referring to a female dog.
That's the Bulldog's new manager.
It's bad enough that you gotta take orders from a dog, but you gotta take orders from a bitch.
Like what you're hearing, share us, tell a friend, and spread the word. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and many more. Don't be a fucking bastard.
That's right, we're back. It's the JLSBX, the Josh Lamb Sports Ball Explosion. Thanks for listening today, sharing, doing all that fun stuff. We're just getting warmed up here on the show here. Big shout out to all of my guests, as always, that we bring on here. There's also, I was going to mention that on the JLSBX, the polls that they have. Uh-oh. I'm being told there's breaking news going on right now. It appears that Reggie Bush is to receive his Heisman Trophy back from 2005 after having it stripped 14 years ago. Again, breaking news, Reggie Bush to get his Heisman Trophy back as he rightfully deserves it. And I would like to say this. Was it just 9 days ago? It was mentioned on this very show by recurring guest Frank Rapier, as we were discussing that asterisks on accomplishments and achievements is complete bullshit. And of course, we were referring that to with the passing of Oge and all that stuff. But Reggie Bush came up in that conversation. And I would like to think that it was this show that did the public service announcement of, or the public service. I'd like to think it was this show that did the public service of getting Mr. Bush his Heisman Trophy back. So you're welcome, Mr. Reggie Bush. It's back where it belongs. If there's anybody else we can help out there, we're here to do it. This is more than just a podcast about sports. This is a community service that we're providing here. Also, with that being said, it's time to get on out of here. Pay attention to our polls. The April Radness brackets are going mighty strong. We'll have the results of the first round here on the next episode. It's awesome how much people are putting into this and voting and doing all that stuff. So big shout out to my guest on today's show, as always, Mr. Frank Rapier, Dennis Brown, TJ Fuller, and of course, Lucy the British Chick for the voiceover drop-ins. I appreciate all of you. Be good. Be good to each other. Don't cost nothing.
The 2005 Heisman Memorial Trophy. The winner is Reggie Bush of USC.
This was a Heisman landslide.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.